You would think this is a sick nightmare snuff video or a snuff book, and then no, but no, it's real life. And then the and right and the people that are you watch some of these veterans testifying, Israeli veterans testifying, Knesset. You know, I have nightmares. I did everything you told me. I murdered. I did this. Well, it didn't occur to you shooting kids in the head isn't the right thing to do. Now you have nightmares. You.
As much sympathy that I have for the Einsatz group and a veteran, crying. I mean, have you seen I mean, brilliant movie, Come and See. Very difficult movie to
Oh
watch.
yeah, I saw that,
But at
of
the end,
course.
when the captured people are there, and the Ukrainians are saying, "Oh well, we didn't, we were forced to do it. We didn't really do it. We didn't want to do it. We didn't forgive us," and they burned them all to death, anyways, as
Yeah,
they deserve. I mean, no
as they
sympathy
deserve.
for these people. And the other thing is, again, I work all over the place, but Ukraine, at some point in time, the concept of having sympathy for the innocent Ukrainian people dissipates when you realize that they know exactly what their government's
Oh
doing,
yeah.
and
Oh yeah.
they've turned a blind eye to it, etc. Or worse, if you're from Western Ukraine, you actively support this. You say this is the good thing. There is no more concept of innocent Ukrainian. I
Yep.
don't buy into the concept of an innocent Ukrainian, especially an innocent Western Ukrainian.
Oh yeah.
And I my soul is my heart has become hardened against that. Just like I don't I lived in Germany for some time in the 70s and the early 80s. My dad was stationed there, and I love Germany. It's a beautiful country. And
Yeah,
I am
I've lived
not
there too.
here. There's no such thing as a good German. Of course there are good Germans. There's good, but collectively the Germans are horrible. Because collectively the Germans never denazified, and they don't have the intellectual curiosity or the intellectual integrity to acknowledge this.
Well, the West Germans. The East Germans actually did get
Correct.
denazified,
No, the
just so
East
you know.
Germans are okay,
Yeah.
but the West Germans, when you look at Rheinmetall, the Nazi organization, you look at the totality of German industry, Nazis, 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 Nazis. They never denazified. They are all linked back to that. And from these industrial, this industrial legacy comes the new Nazi masters of Germany today. There's never been denazification. The German military had superficial trials. The bulk of the German generals who were found guilty of war crimes, sentenced to 25-year sentences, 12 to 25-year sentences, were all pardoned by John McCloy. So that Germany then could take those officers, make them part of the new Bundeswehr, which had a 30% SS percentage in their
That
rank.
high? Seriously? Wow.
Yeah, no, it was, well, I mean, 30% maybe SS and Wehrmacht, people with experience on the front, but it's a very high
Right.
percentage. And so the Bundeswehr that was created, well, let me put it this way: the police units of Germany that became the heart of the Bundeswehr were police units that had very high SS
Yeah,
participation.
Gestapo. Yeah, a lot of
And
them.
so the that but that's Germany, that's the reality of Germany. So today, I'm very harsh on Germany because I there's no forgiveness in me because there, you cannot say that any of this is a mistake.
Oh,
And the fact that your country has done that, which remember the what was the purpose of NATO? I'm giving away a lot of the premise of my upcoming book, but
yeah. Easy. Keep the Soviet Union out, keep America in, and keep the Germans down.
gosh, let's take a look at what's happening. The Germans are rising up, the Americans are leaving, and they're getting ready to invite Russian energy back in. So NATO has failed 100%. And but it's because NATO was always an artifice. The German and the other thing is there's no such thing as innocent German because all the Germans that participated in the facade that was NATO understood exactly what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
They were buying time to get the Reich back up on its feet. So it's I've lost sympathy for I know you're not supposed to have collective punishment. It's against the law, and I would never carry out military operations based upon the premise of collective punishment. But intellectually, I'm at the point right now where if you're going to call yourself a democracy, or at least you have democratic values and institutions, that implies that the people have a say on whom they elect to represent them in higher office.
Right.
And if the people keep electing the people that have the sins of the fathers tattooed all over their forehead, That's on the people now. Just like I
Absolutely.
blame the United States for our political leadership. I know I get in trouble with all the peace act. That's not me. Well, screw you. That means you're weak. That means you haven't done anything.
Yeah.
If you're out there saying I didn't do that, well, enough people did it. That means you haven't done a good enough job of articulating your opposition to this. You have
Yep.
failed somewhere. Ask yourself why you can't win over mainstream support. Is it because you still dress up like a goddamn hippie from the 1960s, don't take showers, and have bad breath? Maybe people don't want to hang around you. God, I'm going to get in trouble with that one. But the point is, you allow, I mean,
But those hippies, by the way, the majority of those hippies turned into the worst autocrats, the worst across the board. Not only are they greedy as hell, they've sacrificed what, the next four generations for their own well-being, but they're the worst autocrats, police state, this, that, the
100%.
and not just in the U.S., but across the entire West.
The other thing that's happened here in the United States is we've allowed ourselves to come, and I'm going to use a big word that I hopefully get correct, bifurcated.
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Yeah. I think
Because I'm a
so. I mean,
Marine.
that's how I
I'm a
pronounce
Marine, and I should not use to anything more than two syllables in it.
Damn them quarter words.
It's a big word, but it
Dang
means that we
quarter
allowed
words.
ourselves to be sliced and diced. We were sliced and diced as society. I'm a boomer. And so that people are telling me that I'm a boomer, I should sit down and shut up because my day's passed. Beneath me are the Zoomers.
Yeah.
And they're being told that you're being dated out. And then you have millennials, and then you have Gen X and Gen Y and this and all that stuff. And for a while there, we allowed the marketplace to divide us that
Yeah,
way from a market standpoint. But what they did is they divide and conquered our society. I just had a granddaughter, and it was one of these
and
epiphanies.
congratulations, huge
Thank you very much.
congratulations.
It was an epiphany because I was looking at her and I realized that there is a direct connection between me and her, that what I do today impacts her, and will impact her. I have 20 years left in my life to make a meaningful impact to so that when she's 20, the world is a good place. But there has to be a direct line between her and me that connects all generations. There's no more such thing as I'm a boomer, you're a zoomer, you're a gen. We're humanity. And it doesn't matter what our age is, it matters what we contribute to society individually. And so we need to break through this crap. I mean, we've allowed ourselves to be divided and conquered by people who don't have the best interests of society at large. And I don't know why we got down this route. I don't know how we got here, but anyways, that's where we are.
It was a long route, but hey, okay, I'll take us back just a little bit. Now, U.S. Is putting forces in Israel. I mean, obviously, Israel's committing genocide across the border of most of its neighbors. It hasn't gotten to Jordan and Egypt yet, but they're already talking Turkey is next on the line,
Well,
which
they did Jordan and Egypt already back in the 40s,
earlier,
50s.
but this wave, which brings an issue with Turkey too. I'll ask that in a minute. But okay, U.S. forces are now in a are going to be now located officially in a country that's committing genocide, committing war crimes, the most heinous war crimes that humanity can commit. Just about, maybe there's something a little worse. They're not quite, they didn't quite get to the Mongol side of boiling your enemies alive in oil, but that may be down the road. We don't know that. That may be a next on the
Raping
agenda.
them with dogs is pretty bad. So,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. How does that reflect on U.S. forces that are stationed in a country like that?
well, first of all, we've been in Israel forever.
But
If you
not
remember, there
officially
was
on this
a
level.
photograph of I forget what an American leader, maybe Trump, was photographed shaking the hands of American service members wearing uniforms that are normally and uniform items that are normally linked with Tier 1 or Tier 1 type American Special Operations Forces.
Biden, I think that was the first year of all of this.
And maybe people are upset. You can't show their tattoos because that gives away. Well, okay, yeah, but you can't don't show their wristwatches because if they're wearing a certain kind of watch, like a sumo watch, then they could be Air Force people. They could be. You saw the speculation
Yeah,
going on,
yeah.
but nobody said what the hell is a Tier 1 unit doing permanently
Well,
stationed in Israel? what's going on there? Nobody wanted to ask that question because they were permanently stationed in Israel. It may be a permanent TDY or TAD, meaning, but on
Right.
paper it implies it's temporary. But they were there. There was a facility. They were armed. They are operational. So what's going on with this? We had THAAD units there.
Oh, yeah. But those are also TDY. They weren't officially
Permanent
there on a
TDY.
permanent, right?
They're permanent. We have a permanent logistics base there where we fly in our aircraft. There is a
Right.
permanent Air Force logistics unit on permanent TDY orders. My point is, the United States has already in existence in Israel a permanent military infrastructure. What we didn't have was the command and control
Right.
recognition that this is that. It was difficult because only recently Israel fell under European command, not CENTCOM. It was only recently they've been
Oh,
chopped over
really?
to Central Command. But now we're going to put a headquarters element in there, which all it does is solidify an existing relationship. To give you an example, and it's something I raised to people back in June when they talked about Israel's attack against Iran. I said, do you think for a second that this attack took place without extensive planning between the United States? Do you understand what kind of deconfliction had to take place to get Israel to fly through zones that are American controlled,
Oh, absolutely.
in the exchange of codes? And then to make matters even more complicated, the current one, the current strike that took place, starting on February 28th. This was a joint operation, which it means the level of joint planning down to everything. The Israelis are using American tankers. That means Americans have to be aware of every strike package that goes in.
Absolutely.
Combat search and rescue has to be coordinated. There has to be zones brought in. All this has to be coordinated. Target decks, sequencing targets, et cetera. Everything was coordinated. It wasn't as though Israel's running its own air campaign. We're running our own air campaign. This was a joint air campaign. And the biggest evidence of that is that secret Israeli military base in Najaf. You see American tankers going over there and parking on top of it to fuel Israeli aircraft.
You cannot make this stuff up, man. You
No,
cannot make this
it's
stuff
all
up.
there. So all we're doing by moving an American headquarters to Israel is formally recognizing what has been happened, because we've had in Israel we have America, because I told you in the Gulf War, the reason why I told that story is we built a Chinese wall between Israel and CENTCOM to make sure that today CENTCOM is in Israel. We have planning cells attached or co-located to Israeli planning cells, but it's been done informally and under the radar. All we're doing now is recognizing that what we're doing is that we're taking the, because we can no longer operate out of Al Udeid Air Base that we're the pre, so we're moving that to Israel. And you're going to see us withdrawing. Jordan's going to play a role in the basing. I'm curious to see what Egypt's going to do, because we are going to need some strategic depth in this regard, given the fact that Europe is no longer a reliable partner. We can't use Sigonella. We can't use Torrejón. We can't use other bases. Ramstein, it'd be interesting to see what happens to Ramstein going forward.
K-Town.
Landstuhl, where we take all our wounded. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with Egypt and the kind of basing arrangements to get Greece. Do we start relying on Crete more and all this? We're looking at a restructuring. There's talk about a new security architecture, and I think part of that new security architecture is the transition of American military power being centric to the Persian Gulf, with Al Udeid as the center of the storm, and seeing this instead transition to Israel and other nations, so that the Persian Gulf, instead of being the center of where we're at, becomes on the periphery of our projection.
Yeah, that's
I
interesting.
think that's the
Yeah.
direction we're heading right now.
Well, how is this? I mean, in the grander scheme of things, Israel being a pariah, well, it, for many parts of the world, it's a pariah nation. It's committing genocide. And the U.S. Army's there. So by guilt by association, even if they said, well, we didn't know, well, you should have known. You're sitting there. It's hard not to realize what your host is doing. You know, that roast beef is the neighbor he just chopped up, that he's serving you. And then on top of that, you know, it's been said multiple times. At first they said, ah, it was just a joke, but it's been said multiple times by multiple Israeli politicians, Turkey's next. And the U.S. actually has an alliance document with Turkey, part of NATO, which it doesn't have with Israel. So whose side does the U.S. take in this case?
Well, the U.S. will always take the U.S.
Right.
But from the Israelis, I think they need to understand that this isn't a good thing that just happened. This is the worst thing that happened because if the U.S. is putting a base in Israel, I mean, a headquarters in Israel, it means we ran out of options. Because as I said, the reason why I brought up the Gulf War is we politically and geopolitically, we can't do that. It's not sustainable regionally. The reason why we're going to Israel is that nobody else wants to be on our side in alliance with Israel. We're looking at, I mean, you look at the UAE, but I don't see the UAE being long for this world and not in
No,
this
I don't either.
extension. So, you know, they're committing suicide actively as we speak. And so, you know, Israel is, you know, we're looking at the fall of Rome. But the one thing we know about the United States, and we talked about it earlier, you know, who else thought that they had an agreement with the United States? Japanese and South Koreans? We ran. Israel needs to understand that, you know, while we're putting our headquarters there, support for Israel, you know, 60% of Americans no longer support Israel. And that number is going to even go higher when the reality of Israel comes up, when they raped the dog rapists and everything else comes out, and how bad these people are. And we start going back and reflecting on the USS Liberty incident. We reflect on Jonathan Pollard. We reflect on, you know,
Who's running for Knesset, by the way?
well, of course he is. I mean, because he deserves that. They deserve him. You know, when the truth comes out about what, you know, the Mossad knowing that the Beirut truck bombing was taking place, but not sharing the intelligence with the Americans because America needed to pay a price. You know, we're blaming the wrong people. When, you know, when we talk about the harm that's befallen the United States, Israel has been playing a dirty game from day one, and the United States has been on the bad end of this dirty game more often than not. And as more Americans become aware of this, you're going to see support for Israel plummet to the point where it'll be politically impossible for the United States to continue a meaningful military relationship with Israel. So that's why I say this is the worst thing possible, because what will happen eventually is we will withdraw from Israel as we always withdraw from nations that become problematic for us.
Well, last question, because I know I've kept you for a while. Over under Trump starts something new in the Gulf, a third phase of this, instead of just letting this. And Kagan, it's hard to believe I'm actually agreeing with Kagan, but his let it just peter out and leave is probably the best option. So of course we're not going to take that.
Kagan's not saying that. Kagan's saying that the best solution is doubling down on stupid and going in with the big war,
The
which you can
options
do.
is right. The U.S.
But
doesn't
that's
have the capacity for that.
we have zero capacity for that. You know, Central Command has assembled enough military power, I believe, to allow the president to carry out a week or so's worth of sustained bombing.
And then what?
But then that's the question. And again, now we know that Bradley Cooper is a liar, this commander who's lying, and we know that Pete Hegseth is unable to recognize lies because he's just stupid. And I don't know where General Kane is on this, but you know, the fact is Kane should be smarter than the average bear. You know, we didn't defeat Iran the first time around. Albert Einstein has been linked to the following saying, I don't, you know, we don't know if he actually said it, but people say he said it, so I'll give him credit indirectly. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. Okay, we went in loaded for bear against the Iranians. And for 37 days, we hit 15,000 targets. Turns out we didn't know what we hit. Cooper admitted that in so much. And what we did hit, we didn't destroy. We can play games with the president saying we killed eight, there's only 18% of Iran's ballistic missile capability back. The CIA is saying 70, now they're saying 90. Iraqi is saying what I would embrace, 120% bigger now, because Iran has reconstituted the totality of their ballistic missile capability, and they have their ballistic missile production capability, which we didn't destroy, and they're producing new missiles.
And four ports on the Caspian working overtime
Overtime.
with
And they've
Russia.
got, optimistically 30 of 33 missile sites along the Strait of Hormuz operational. How'd that happen?
Do you think those destroyers got hit? That they
I
brought in
don't.
as they're claiming it was bait. But
I don't think they got hit. I don't think we get to hide that from people for too long. Short term we can deny it, but eventually we have to acknowledge damage and casualties. Plus, we can belittle the United States, but when you put, I just remind people that our destroyers were designed. These defense systems were designed back in the Cold War to help absorb and deflect and defeat literal waves of Russia, of Soviet cruise missiles. What happened here is that they succeeded. They shot down waves of drones, waves of missiles, but the last element of these waves broke through the missile defense barrier and had to be taken down with SeaWiz. The was it 20 millimeter or 30 millimeter Gatling guns
Yeah,
that
the
have
Phalanx systems.
Phalanx. Yeah, they have 30-second bursts. They can be reloaded in 45 minutes. But 45 minutes is forever in a combat zone. If the enemy knows you can reload in 45 minutes, and you have them run dry, launch your second wave at the 25-minute point.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and I think what happened here is the Navy got in there, and quickly exhausted their ability to maintain a credible defense, and were compelled to withdraw. Not because they were hit, but that if they stayed, they would be hit. And that's a defeat. That's a defeat for the United States Navy. We didn't achieve what we wanted to achieve. We can't achieve what we want to achieve. And then the other reality is, we can't open the Strait of Hormuz. That isn't going to happen. If Trump attacks, there's talk that he'll hit energy infrastructure. But if he's operating on the fact that, Iran only has 18% of their missiles left, and therefore we don't have to worry about it, he's wrong. Iran will literally eradicate, devastate, decimate, whatever big word you want to use. Let's say destroy the Gulf Arab energy infrastructure. So we've gone from, disrupting 20 to 22% of the global energy supply to destroying 20 to 22%. And that will
A
be
lot
the
of it's
end of a
destroyed
global
already.
economy, the end
I
of it.
mean,
It can't recover. Your
Qatar is
pause, so I
out.
don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I now can hear.
Okay,
Could you hear
yeah.
me?
Yeah, I could hear you. That was interesting. I don't
Okay.
think you heard me. But you know, a lot of it is already destroyed. Qatar, from what I mean, from my experience when I was looking at the photos, my experience in the supply chain for these kinds of construction projects, I was thinking about 1.5, 2 years. And then when I start reading what people on the ground are saying, it's more like 5 to 7 years to rebuild. I mean, that level of devastation. But what happens when there's no drinking water? It's
Well, that's the thing.
50 degrees over there right now, Celsius, so it's 120 Fahrenheit.
We're looking at the death of nations.
Yeah.
And so now you asked me the over under. And here's the hard part, because if we apply logic, military analysis, geopolitical analysis, energy security analysis, there's no way Trump can attack, because it's literal suicide, political suicide, and economic suicide. But we're not dealing with a rational human being. We're dealing with a man who thinks it's okay to reach over and read the notes of Xi Jinping, a man dumb enough not to realize that was a trap. We're dealing with a man with no moral compass. We're dealing with one of the most corrupt individuals in the world, who views every problem not in terms of how good is it for America or the world or allies or such, but what's in it for me financially? How do I benefit? How to So he's a grifter, a con man, a snake oil salesman. And when you, and it, not just that, again, I'm writing a paper about this. I won't give it away too much, but I use I oftentimes call him a man suffering from narcissistic personality disorder.
Absolutely. It's
And a lot of
absolutely.
people have pushed back and said, "You're not a psychologist, Scott, or a psychiatrist. How can you make that assessment? Who are you? You shouldn't use these words because those words have meaning. And you're only, even if it's true, you're undermining your argument." Well, time out. I'm glib sometimes and all, but I'm very careful with what I say because I've actually done the research. People may not realize, but in 2019, I was on a panel of board-certified psychiatrists and psychologists discussing the mental health of Donald Trump on C-SPAN. Bandy
2019.
Lee was a Yale certified doctor, a Harvard certified doctor, very, very highly qualified. And she and others were making the case that Donald Trump is mentally ill, that he suffers from narcissistic personality disorder of the most malignant kind. And some people say, well, the Goldwater rule applies. Goldwater, of course, linked to Barry Goldwater, who ran for president back in 1964 and was subjected to attacks questioning his sanity. And people said, you can't, in American politics, you shouldn't be allowed to do long distance sniping without somebody actually sitting down in front of a psychiatrist so a proper diagnosis could be made. And I normally am supportive. I cited that in 2019 in my pushback because I was not somebody who embraced the concept of Donald Trump being a malignant narcissist. I just felt that he was a corrupt politician. And I said all politicians are narcissists in one way or the other. Since then, I've changed. I now take a look at a man who literally builds golden statues to himself and has it and have them dedicated by religious officials. Read the damn Bible, Donald. Don't you understand why God turned his back repeatedly on the Hebrews? Because they built the gold statues of idols. You've now made yourself a godlike figure. He's a man. I
It's
just came
the
back from
emperor cult.
Washington.
Yeah, it's the emperor
It's a
cult right
cult.
out of Rome.
It's a cult of personality. And
Yeah.
so, and the other thing people need to realize is that narcissistic personality disorder can be diagnosed long distance. The DSM, the big manual that guides it, says it can be diagnosed long distance. There are five observable traits, and if your behavior manifests itself in those, the diagnosis can be made. And so it's not me making this diagnosis. There are board-certified people making this diagnosis. And so today I will clearly say that Donald Trump is a certifiable narcissistic, is suffering from narcissistic personality disorder of the most malignant nature. He's antisocial. He represents a harm to himself, to society, and the world. And now, having said that, what I'm really saying is he's mentally ill. And it's manifested. I mean, when you put out multiple self-contradictory social media postings in the span of 2 hours at 2:45 in the morning, you've got a problem, a mental health problem.
When you
So now
put
we come back
50-foot
to the older.
statues or to yourself or you're planning
Yeah.
on, that's a mental health
You want to
problem.
put your face on Mount Rushmore, mental health. You believe you deserve the Nobel Peace Prize for stopping wars you never stopped, mental health.
Oh no, what was it, 8 or 12, 10, 12 wars that he stopped? Come on.
10 now, 10, yeah, 10.
Armenia and Cambodia, Cambodia. I mean, he stopped that war.
But he, well, of course he did. He's Donald Trump. But my point is, getting back to your question, how do you predict the actions of a mentally ill individual? And you can't.
You can't.
So I don't know what's going to happen. Logic dictates that America shouldn't commit suicide, which is what resuming military operations against Iran will result in. But we're dealing with an antisocial, malignant narcissist who only cares about himself. And this is a man whose family and immediate circle has profited on the timing of his social
Oh,
media. So, we know that this man doesn't care about America. He doesn't care about national security. He only cares about the bottom line of him and his fellow cultists. So I don't know how to answer your question. That's a long way of saying I can't put an over and under, and I wouldn't put an over and under because you can't predict the actions of an insane person, and Donald Trump is clinically insane.
that's actually a good way to put it, because any over under, you've backed it up with a very good argument, and that's the truth, and that's the unfortunate, painful truth that we're living with. Because you're absolutely right, he's unpredictable, he's narcissistic, he's very, very arrogant. I don't know, I do. I think you're absolutely right. So sit back and see where this rolls to.
Yeah, makes it interesting.
Doesn't it? Keeps us from getting any sleep, damn it. But yeah. People ask, Stas, when do you sleep? I pass out. I think that's what happens. Yeah, somewhere like I'm off, then I'm back on. Okay.
Well, at least you haven't. I don't know if you've done this yet. And forgive me for the people that didn't pick up on this. I have been on some panels and some long interviews where the questions go on forever. And I have fallen asleep in the middle of the question. And then, there, and so you're so used to the, all of a sudden there's a stop and your brain goes, trouble, trouble, trouble. And you open your eyes and they're staring at you, expecting an answer. And on some occasions, I will start something. I'll say, yeah, could you repeat that last part, please? And just give me, and then I'll run with it. But on at least two occasions, I've had to sit there and go, I apologize. I didn't catch that question. Could you repeat it shortly? But I did that also. Again, I won't give it away because but people who know, know. I was on panels, live panels in Russia, and they're going on and on and on. And I'm so tired. I've been up, like you said, you're just nonstop working with it. So I'm sitting there in the panel, and so I assume the thinker po pose. I'm listening, and then I put my hand here and I listen, and then I fall asleep. And the giveaway is when you do this.
The jerk. Oh, frick.
Oh,
You
so
don't.
yeah, I totally get it when you say tired because this isn't easy. My
No,
father-in-law, God bless his soul, he's passed, but he appreciated the fact that I was a physical guy. I mean, I would go out and I could clear yard, I could lift things, move things, but I never got tired doing that. I mean, a little bit, but I was exhausted day in and day out. And he was a academician. He was a very very good professor and teacher of subtropical agronomy. But he told my wife, who I think was wondering why I'm so tired, he said the most exhausting work in the world is the work of the mind.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I've
when
been on panels with it, they're asking questions, and halfway through a question, I realize I don't understand a thing they said because it's just wah wah. It's like the Peanuts, wah 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 wah. My brain is gone. I'm just so
But
tired
now,
of
if you're at the gym
it.
and you're lifting, you come down and you do your rep. Okay, you exercise these muscles and these muscles, but the rest of your body's going, oh, you're
Yeah,
sitting there
exactly.
realizing you don't understand the word, saying your entire body is tense,
Yep.
your brain is churning through calories like you wouldn't steam coming out of the ears as you're trying to figure out what's going on. The nonstop thought process, you're twitching all over it. This is why you're exhausted, because the body is impacted by the brain.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I actually have one I was on Время покажет. So you're standing behind podiums for experts, and they do some news and they ask some questions. And the last part, they're just doing news. And the thing is, the day before, I was reading a lecture in Tambov. Not was it Tambov? No, Lipetsk. So I got a couple hours of sleep. Got up and I was on the road at like 3:30 or 4 in the morning to get to Moscow, hit the Moscow morning traffic, barely made it in time. And this is the end of the show. I'm just down in caffeine, just to get, I got through a show, they asked me the questions, got all the answers, blah, blah, blah. Now it's just the last 10 minutes and they're just doing the news thing update. And I'm standing there and I'm realizing my head's spinning and my eyes are closing and I'm gonna fall, because I'm just dead tired. Like, my God, if I fall right now, I'm never gonna get invited again. Like, sheer willpower, 10 minutes. I just gotta stay awake for 10 minutes.
No, but I've been in panels where I'm actually, because you here I'm relatively rested, so I was able. But you can see I sometimes I go off on tangents as I'm answering a question, and so we start on the main path, then I go off on a tangent, then I go off on a tangent to the tangent, and then I tangent the tangent. Then I'm sitting there going, okay, now I have to work my way back to the main question, and I work my way back. But even today, I got so far off that as I worked my way back, I went, I don't know where we even started. I can't. At least I admit, I've been in again panel forums live, where I've gone off, and what happens is, as I'm speaking, I forget everything that I don't know why I'm speaking, who I'm speaking to, what I'm supposed to be saying. And then at that point in time, the realization is, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know why I'm saying it, but I have to keep speaking. So I'm just throwing words, the word salad, looking around for any clue of where I am, because I literally don't know where I'm at. I'm sitting here going, where am I? So I'm looking around for a clue. And then if I can get something, I'll quickly wrap it up and toss it. But sometimes I'm just sitting there and I have to stop and say, I'm sorry. So that's all I have to say. And they're all looking at me like, and nope, that's it. That's all I got.
I'll end it with this. I was at a church one time, and there was a young priest, and he starts reading the sermon, right at the end of, Orthodox liturgies are long. At the very end, he's reading the sermon, and he's reading the sermon, and he's talking, and he's talking, and he's talking, and he's talking. People are getting antsy. He's talking, and then he just stops. Okay, I gotta admit, I have no idea how to end this sermon, so I'm just gonna end now because he's 20 something, 20 to 30 minutes. He's just talking, and he's just like, and you could tell he's searching for something, but there's still words coming out of his mouth. It's got that, the microphone disease, where you put the microphone in front of somebody and they just start blabbing and they spill everything because they just feel they gotta say something. There's a microphone and they don't know how to control themselves.
Well, we're all guilty of that
Yeah.
sometimes.
Scott, thank you for joining. Looking forward to seeing you in Moscow in a month, well, less than a month now. I'll head up there too, for a day or two. So we'll see you at the economic in the economic forum, and thank
Okay,
you very
super.
much. And we'll
Thanks.
see what Biden we'll see a Biden and we'll see what Trump does.
Yeah, we'll have an answer to the over-under by then. Okay.
We laugh, ladies and gentlemen, because otherwise we'd be crying. So
Right. It's a very sad state of affairs. Very sad.
it is. We're not taking this as pure humor, unfortunately.
No. Well, it's like I was a firefighter and I drove ambulances for about a decade here. And you come out of a tough fire and all you can do is sit down and tell bad jokes.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you become an alcoholic and you couldn't move. So humor is the best medicine sometimes. So
Yes, it
yeah.
is.
All right, Bob.
That's how we all also got through the military, by being
Yeah,
smart asses.
for sure. Yeah. Okay. Have a good
Cheers,
one, man.
everyone.